We'll miss you, pandas. We'll be back soon.
The essential workers will feed the pandas.
They will. The pandas will be okay. And they might actually just have a vacation from the visitors. It'll be great for them. Sister Science Facts. Dr. Sister Science Facts. Maybe they're sisters, maybe they're friends. Honey, they're doctors. Whoa. Rolling forward. Dr. Sister Science Facts. Well, welcome to this week's episode of the Rolling Forward podcast.
I'm Dr. Lisa Rowland.
I'm Dr. Stephanie Rowland.
I'm a pediatrician.
I'm a psychiatrist.
We're both practicing physicians and I was going to say part-time researchers, but it feels like full-time researchers.
At this point, it feels like it's full-time research and full-time clinical, which who knows how that works out.
We started this podcast as a way to help friends, family, understand some of the rapid changes that's happening in healthcare in America right now.
And today we're going to be focusing on the shutdown. We're going to be talking about what's happening at health agencies, how it's affecting families, and what's coming down the line. And we decided to focus on this because we live in Washington, D.C., and so we are seeing the shutdown in real life. Going forward, Dr. Sister
Science Facts. I actually was once furloughed.
I've never been furloughed, but you made it sound amazing. But in fact, now that we're adults, we can see that being furloughed is really stressful because you're working if you're essential, but not being paid.
I was, I think, 21 years old. I was enjoying the benefits of having a government ID and enjoying free food, discounts, free shots at bars.
I was not.
And then now as an adult, I'm like, oh, paychecks matter. Healthcare matters. Research matters. And it feels very different to live in DC as the government shutdown is happening when you have more understanding of what's happening in the universe.
And even just on an entertainment level. So here in DC, the Smithsonian say that they're going to shut down on October 11th. This is a network of free museums and zoos that you may have enjoyed if you've ever been to DC. And for us, it's what we do most weekends. So this past weekend, we brought my daughter to the zoo twice because we thought we just needed to get our visits in now.
And it looks like Boo at the Zoo is going to be canceled, which is devastating.
Devastating.
Last shutdown, there was concern that Pandapalooza was going to be canceled.
We have to get the government up and running again before Pandapalooza. But beyond the museums and the zoo, let's talk about healthcare and what's happening. So in this episode, we're going to map exactly what parts of healthcare are at risk now, so you know where to expect that and how to brace yourself.
So let's start with just the numbers.
Let's do it.
At the Department of Health and Human Services, it's estimated that it's about 40% of the staff, or about 32,000 people, have been furloughed.
And that's from the official contingency plan, which means that there are fewer people to answer phones, process grants, or update guidance.
Within the Department of Health and Human Services, at the CDC, or the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, it's about 65% of staff that has been furloughed.
And at the CDC, what they consider life and property work is going to continue. So these are going to be outbreak labs or vaccine logistics. But things like research, communications, and outreach are going to be mostly paused while these thousands of employees are off the job.
This means that they're unable to really provide guidance to state and local health departments on key public health issues as things change. Because, you know, pandemics happen even when the government is closed.
And the NIH, another branch of HHS, is in a similar bind.
About 75% of the workforce on NIH is currently furloughed.
I have been emailing my project officer. I was hoping to hear back before the shutdown. I didn't. And the reality is I'm going to have to wait until the government opens back up before I can expect a response from her about the work that I'm currently doing.
And you're not alone. There is a huge slow or a full pause on all grant work, on all grant support, on grant reviews, on administrative support. There is a big research slower pause. When I was working at the NIH and furloughed, my colleagues could go in to feed the mice, to feed the monkeys, but no kind of further research could be performed.
So researchers like us, we're waiting. We're waiting for guidance and updates from the NIH.
Over at FDA, the urgent safety work is still continuing, But most routine food and drug inspections are paused, and the agency isn't taking new fee-bearing submissions right now.
This is really going to slow drug approvals and quality checks of food and drugs. Now, that's not immediately dangerous, but very quickly, we're going to see that backlog build, and that could introduce some new concerns.
In the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, half of the staff have been furloughed.
And this is the part of HHS that pays for Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, and Marketplace coverage.
The core safety net for these programs are working. Claims and benefit payments keep flowing, but customer service, prior authorization reviews are going to slow and maybe even stop.
So the bottom line is that HHS, this core safety net is going to keep working, but where we're going to see the impact is in what's considered the extras. Now, I may not think those are extras. Your family may not think that these are extras, but things like research, oversight, communication, innovation, those are deemed to be non-essential in many branches and they will pause or stop.
So let's talk about what that actually looks like for families, in addition to thousands of people not currently getting paid.
Let's do it.
Community health centers, these are clinics that see a lot of patients on public insurance, are still open, but they rely on grants from the federal government, and this grant processing and the support services is slowed. And that can mean that some clinics might have reduced hours, or they can even cancel events.
So if you're seeing a pediatrician or your family doctor happens to work in one, call ahead because they really may be stretching smaller staffs or delaying certain types of programs.
With regards to vaccines, good news.
Good news about vaccines? Tell me, I'm waiting.
First time on this podcast ever.
Woo!
The good news for vaccines is that the Vaccine for Children's program is still funded and operating. But
there's always a but.
Like everything else we've talked about, there is going to be delays in communication. There's going to be reduction of staff. There's going to be fewer kind of reported data, administrative staff support.
So if you receive services at a public clinic and they are totally booked out or it just feels really confusing to communicate with them right now, do check with your pediatrician first and see if they're able to provide you with any support or guidance.
What I didn't expect is the effect on pharmacies.
Oh no, now I'm bracing myself.
Pharmacies have medicines in stock, but prior authorizations, appeals, specialty drug shipments are slowing because a lot of the workers at the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services are furloughed.
So if you or anyone in your family relies on specialty medications, maybe a mail order medication or a medical device, order them now. And try to have a 2 to 3 week cushion just in case there are any delays in receiving them.
And for anyone that's enrolled in a clinical trial, ongoing care continues, but new enrollments or non-urgent monitoring might be stopped.
And this applies mainly to NIH-run trials because university and hospital studies that are NIH-funded will usually keep seeing patients. However, their funding reviews and new approvals will be frozen during this time, which means some studies can't launch or expand until the shutdown ends.
So it sounds like overall, essential things are moving, but things might just be slower.
Slow.
And the shutdown doesn't just hit the labs. It doesn't just hit the doctor's office. It hits families in daily life.
Starting with food, let's talk about it. Let's start with SNAP, which is the main federal food assistance program. For now, October benefits are going out on time, according to the USDA and state agencies. So that's some good news.
Unfortunately, bad news.
We always have the bad news bears that comes with this.
Bad news bears. I'm the bad news bear, I feel like, always. WIC, that's the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, is in a bit of a tougher spot.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah, it's not an entitlement program, so it can run out of money if Congress doesn't fund it.
Which is huge because WIC serves over 6 million people every month. About 1.5 million women, 1.5 million infants and 3.5 million children under age 5 typically receive WIC benefits each month.
And WIC isn't just grocery money. It's a targeted health nutrition program. It gives families electronic benefit cards and vouchers for specific foods that supply key nutrients. Things like milk, eggs, cheese, cereal, peanut butter, fruits and vegetables, whole grain, and really importantly, infant formula.
So important, because it also covers specialized medical formulas when they are prescribed. And WIC, it's more than just food and formula. It provides nutrition counseling and breastfeeding support through local health departments or clinics. And they can even require regular health check-ins, such as checking with your pediatrician about weight and growth, anemia screening, in order to keep benefits active.
Many WIC offices also connect directly with the pediatrician office to help link families to doctor appointments, to vaccines. In other words, WIC is an essential part of the healthcare system as a safety net for mothers and children.
Which sounds essential, but essentially this is considered a discretionary program, which means, like we said earlier, they run out of money if not funded. And right now, the USDA says there's only maybe 1 to 2 weeks of federal contingency funding left to keep these really important services running. And after that, each state's going to be on its own. And some states are going to be able to stretch this with reserve funds, but others are going to have to pause or cut benefits if the shutdown drags on.
So if your family uses WIC, try to redeem your benefits this week and follow your state WIC updates. If you're on SNAP, your October benefits should arrive as usual, but start planning ahead in case the shutdown extends into November.
Which is scary to think about because for millions of families, programs like WIC, they aren't extras. They're how babies get formula and how parents are putting food on the table.
And there's another piece of the safety net that doesn't always make headlines, and that's Head Start.
I love Head Start.
These are federally funded preschool and early childhood programs that serve almost 1 million children and pregnant women across the country.
And Head Start, it's not just school. It's where kids get meals, they get vision and hearing screenings, developmental assessments are done, even dental checks. Head Start is healthcare, education, and childcare all rolled into one.
Right now, during the shutdown, most Head Start centers are still open. And that's because they're running on state funding or carryover funds or even local emergency reserves. But unfortunately, about 10 to 15% of programs have federal grants that start on October 1st. And these are the ones that are going to be in trouble.
And that's because HHS cannot issue new grants while the government is closed. So these programs that are waiting on a renewal for October 1st, if that renewal didn't come in advance, they would lose access to their funding immediately. And as of this weekend, there's at least a handful of grantees in southern states that have confirmed that they've furloughed staff or cut hours from Head Start in order to stretch their reserves.
If Congress doesn't act soon, it's estimated that thousands of children could lose access to classrooms, meals, health checks.
And we have seen this before. During the 2013 shutdown, Head Start centers in Alabama, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, South Carolina, they closed outright for more than a week and reopened when a private foundation stepped in and provided bridge funding.
So like WIC, Head Start runs on annual federal grants, and when those stop, it's not just inconvenient. It means that teachers aren't paid, kids are missing early learning, families lose a key link to basic healthcare services.
Oof, it's all a lot to take in. And if you're reeling with this, so are we. And Alicia, we've gotten a few questions from listeners. And so I wanted to bring these up and let's answer them together. Okay. So here we go. This is going to be like pop quiz because I didn't tell you what they were in advance. Alicia, my kid's vaccine appointment was canceled.
Ugh, not surprising, but overall, very disappointing. We have a whole episode about this last week.
Last week, we focused on the COVID-19 vaccine and access to it for under 5. But here in general, if you're seeing your kid's vaccine appointment being canceled, this is likely not a shortage of the vaccine, but an issue with staffing.
The Vaccines for Children program is still running, but with fewer public health workers. And some clinics have had to cut hours or reschedule appointments.
So I would call up See if you can reschedule, get clarity on what the issue is, and you may need to be flexible as to the hours you're going to bring your kid in for a vaccination.
Okay, what's question number two?
Question number two. Alicia, during this, will my insurance still pay? Can I still go to the doctors?
I think this is a really common question. It's terrifying to think I get my insurance from the government. The government is working at a reduced rate. What does this mean about getting sick? What does this mean about my insurance payments? And what it means is right now, yes, Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, and the market-based plans are still paying claims.
So even though the government is shut down, if you have health insurance through the federal government, your health insurance is not shut down. It still works.
What's different is how long it takes for things to get through. Things like customer service, prior authorizations, appeal if your prior authorization is denied. All of those will likely take longer. They'll be slower while more staff is furloughed.
All right, Alicia, next one. How about food and drug inspections? Are these still happening?
Yes, and also no.
Oh no, explain.
Only urgent inspections are happening. So the FDA is still handling immediate safety threats, but most routine inspections and new product reviews are paused until all staff come back.
Well, that's something we can think about later. And what about research visits?
So if you're already enrolled in a clinical trial, keep your appointment unless your coordinator tells you otherwise. The NIH has paused new enrollment and non-urgent studies, but overall, your current patient care continues.
Okay, so those are the questions we've gotten so far. If you have a question, send us an email.
Our email is rollinforwardshow, that's R-O-L-I-N forward show at gmail.com.
Or if you're savvy and you prefer to contact us through the socials, do. We're on TikTok, Insta, all the places. You can send us a message there about how the shutdown is impacting your family. Because shutdowns, they sound abstract until they start impacting your life and they're impacting your family's healthcare. What we can tell you is that right now, the big systems, Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP, vaccines for children, they're still running.
The stress is really going to show up in the length of time it takes for things to get done. Slower approvals, unanswered calls when you keep calling your program officer, clinics trying to stretch and doing more with less.
And that some programs like Head Start or WIC are going to see impacts sooner.
Here in DC, the zoo's open for a few more days.
We'll miss you, pandas. We'll be back soon.
The essential workers will feed the pandas.
They will. The pandas will be okay. And they might actually just have a vacation from the visitors. It'll be great for them. And then meanwhile, us parents will just try to keep our routine steady, even if the zoo is no longer an option.
And that's our show for today.
Thanks for tuning in and take care. Okay. I feel like you're going to need to take that. You took a video of the monkeys, right?
They were gibbon monkeys? Is that what they're called? Gibbon?
And then just increase them vocalizing. Marvell has been imitating the sound that they make all day. She's been like recreating the sound for her dad, being like, this is what the monkeys sound like. And she goes like, ah!